You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
The 2010 Olympics are less than a month away. In Vancouver, road closures and parking restrictions are just starting to take effect. People who live and work near security zones are trying to figure out how or if they're going to be able to get to their jobs, and we're being told to expect rush hour 24/7 on the roads and long delays on transit. But if this all seems bad, spare a thought for the working people of Whistler as the Olympic circus descends on their town. To find out what things are like in the epicenter of the Games, we've contacted Pina Belperio. She blogs at Word of the Rings on rabble.ca. She's with the Council of Canadians, and she's a founding member of Whistler Watch. Pina Belperio joins me this morning from her home in Creekside, just south of Whistler Village. Hello, Pina.
Good morning, Jean.
Now, you wrote in a blog post this week that Whistler is twice prorogued. What's happening up there?
Our local government here in Whistler has been using the Olympics as a way to shut down council meetings. So council meetings in Whistler have been shut down from December 15th of last year to March 23rd of this year.
So that's what, three and a half months?
3.5 months, no council meetings, but yet our elected officials are still collecting paychecks, and we just feel that democracy has essentially taken an Olympic-sized holiday here in Whistler.
Wow. And what kind of security measures are already in place up in Whistler?
So to date, we have a military camp set up in Squamish. We have a military camp with about 1,600 Canadian Army troops set up 10 minutes south of Whistler. And then to the north end of Whistler, still within our boundaries, we have an estimated 1,700 private security personnel that will be doing all the security at the venues.
And they're already in place in a camp?
They're already in place. The Army's been here for probably since the summer, and the private security arrived here maybe in November.
And what do you know about what's happening on the police front?
On the police front, well, we know they're going to be here. They're coming from across Canada. It's the latest number I've been able to sort of look at, determine, has been about, here in Whistler, we'll have about 4,600 police, military, and private security. And just to give you an idea, we have 10,000 full-time residents here. So essentially half of our population will be police or some sort of law enforcement.
Wow, so that's one for every two of you then.
It's pretty good, yeah. We should feel pretty safe.
Now, I know that there are checkpoints being set up on the road into Whistler. Do you know how many there are going to be?
Well, officially by VanOck, we've been told there's going to be one checkpoint, just at at Alice Lake in Squamish, and so we need permits to get through there. And so we've received passes to get through that checkpoint, which is valid between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. But then we're now getting wind that there's going to be way more checkpoints in Whistler. There's another one set up now at the Callahan Valley for commercial vehicles. There's one set up also at Brandywine Falls, just 10 minutes south of Whistler, where I understand that cars are going to be screened and then sort of sealed. And if that seal is broken by the time you get into Whistler, you won't be allowed in. And then there's going to be checks at all the venues, checks at the Athletes Village. And what we've been told is that each venue has three levels of security, so that's probably three additional checkpoints there. To give you an example, there's a play going on in Whistler during the Olympics, and the actors are going through four different checkpoints or security screenings just to get into Lost Lake where the play is being held, and they're just actors. So I think we're in for a lot of checkpoints.
Sounds like it. Now,
yeah.
You were talking to the local women's shelter, and they have statistics that show a huge increase in violence against women at other Olympic Games. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, I was shocked to learn just how much violence increases towards women during the Games. So I was speaking to the directors down at the Housetown Women's Center in Squamish, and they don't have exact values, but what they've been able to determine from Salt Lake City Olympics is that violence against women or assaults increase anywhere from 10 to 36%. And anyone who's assaulted here in Whistler or experiences some sort of, attack or whatever in Whistler has to be driven down to Squamish during the Games.
Why is that? Why do they have to be driven down to Squamish?
We don't have a shelter here, just like we don't have a homeless shelter either, or a men's shelter. So sort of Squamish has been taking a lot of our brunt. Anything that happens here is sort of handled by Squamish. Even now we've had homeless people that have been given bus tickets or relocated to Squamish.
Well, I was going to ask you about homeless people also, because here in Vancouver there's been a lot of pressure, attempts to get homeless people off the streets during the games, and I'm imagining it must be way more up in Whistler.
Yeah, so people have this assumption here that everyone's wealthy, but the fact is that there's a lot of working class people, and we also have probably not as many homeless as Vancouver does. Our estimate is about between 20 and 24 homeless people here that live in the bush or under parkades, but they've sort of become part of our community, so we know most of these people. And what's happened now is that, according to our mayor, that these people have been given voluntary bus tickets to Squamish. And a lot of them are now, people have seen them in Squamish there, and then they're coming back after the games. But according to what was written in the papers and quoted from our mayor, he was saying that if any homeless person happens to be living on a piece of land that Vanock has taken over, well, it's only natural that they should be moving from there. You can call it voluntary or not, but they're not given much choice. And I think I've also heard that there's been homeless people that live in cabins in the woods here, and that they've been sort of tracked down by the military and forced to sort of close down shops.
I was at a library event in Vancouver last week, and the programmer who was introducing the event said that there weren't going to be any programs during the Olympics because the library staff all have other things that they're going to do in connection with the Olympics, and I guess that's happening in Whistler too.
Yeah, I guess I would take it another step further here in Whistler. At least your library is open there. Ours is shutting down from January, I believe it's 29, all the way to middle of March. Because it's being used as Whistler Canada House. So it's basically, it's just received a liquor license for about 1,000 people to schmooze and dine during the Olympics. So I feel, as a resident and as a taxpayer, that I'm being totally duped, especially when it comes to our library, which here in Whistler is the sort of focal point of the community. It's a place where anyone can go regardless of viewpoints or demographics or income.
Now, I'm thinking about Whistler, and I'm thinking that actually there isn't, I don't remember there being a lot of public space up there, so the library would be a significant part of that.
Exactly. We have very few places that someone who has an hour to kill or just to wants to go and have some quiet time to just do that. We don't have the sort of public space like other communities do. So the library was the central focal point. Anyone can go there. People used to go there and check their emails. We had a lot of seasonal workers. A lot of even the homeless used to hang out there, seniors, all kinds of stuff, and that is now being taken away from us. But on the other hand, our library is encouraging us to help them vacate the library. So they're asking each resident to take out about 50 books or as many books as they can to do our part for the games.
Well, that's good anyway. That's one benefit. It'd be like a decentralized library.
And as I said in one of my blogs, I said I wouldn't want Jack Rogue to slip and fall on a book after he's had a few cognacs at our library.
So. Right. I know that there will be people in Whistler who will want to protest what's happening. Are there any spaces in the town where that will be able to happen legally?
We've been in discussions with the Vancouver Integrated Security Unit, and because a lot of anyone who's written a letter here in Whistler, basically a letter to the editor, for example, has been questioned or followed by the Integrated Security Unit. And in our meetings with them, they've assured us that there's going to be protest areas or safe assembly zones. But we keep telling them that here in Canada, the entire country is a free speech zone, so we're allowed to say what we want, where we want. And we refuse to be sort of herded into these protest pens. So we don't know what's going to be happening here. It's going to be a little bit more difficult than Vancouver because of the ratio of police to residents here. In Vancouver, it's a little bit easier to be anonymous in that sense. But one issue that we're concerned about is also the Callahan Valley, where a lot of the destruction has happened, and the site of the Nordic venues. The venue is actually 12 kilometers in from the highway. And those 12 kilometers to get in are actually Crown land. So we were hoping to maybe have protests up that road. But the police are now closing it off at the highway. So essentially public space or Crown land is being shut off. So from what I can gather, no, it won't be protest where you please.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that local businesses were hoping to get some kind of benefit from this. How are they doing?
I would say most of them are, I would say they're pretty bitter. The Olympic dream wasn't at all what they were led to believe. A lot of businesses here in Whistler are struggling. Hotels are have a lot of vacancy available to them. Retailers, especially bars, were asking for extended hours during the Olympics because that's their busy time and they would have all the patrons going there. But their liquor hours were not extended. And in addition, we have private homes or Austria House, U.S. House, Whistler House. They've actually been given extended liquor licenses. So right off the bat, there's a conflict between these private houses and the liquor, the bars in town. Where I live here, there's a grocery store that services our area. And they've essentially lost every, they've had four floors of parking, which are essentially being taken over by the military in Bannock. And I was there yesterday, and I think there were only two of us in the entire grocery store. So if he makes it past April, would be I'd be surprised. But his parking is won't be handed back to him until April 21st, and it was taken on January the 4th. So that's almost 4 months of him being shut down, essentially.
Now, you blogged that mm-hmm. this was the greenest games ever, or will be the greenest games ever, but you weren't talking about the environment. I think you were talking about the lack of snow. What is the environmental impact that you have witnessed so far?
It's been pretty disastrous, and it's hard not to be cynical with Bannock. To date, I think we've lost here in Worcester 72% of our wetlands, and a lot of that had been destroyed before. But a big component of that was actually destroyed in order to house some of the venues here in Whistler or some of the other facilities. So an example has been Nestor's Wetlands, just north of Whistler, our village. It was a wetland that contained otters and beavers and fish, and that was essentially cleared in July 20, 2008, and it now houses a new transit facility and a hydrogen refueling station. So when you come into Whistler and you drive through town, you can't miss it. It has these huge white tanks that are housing hydrogen, but the hydrogen is being trucked in from coming from train from Montreal, and it essentially looks like something out of Fort McMurray, and that's in the middle of our town. And hydrogen itself is not a viable energy option at this point. This is one of the legacies from the games. We have the Whistler Sliding Center, which has about 68,000 kilograms of ammonia just sitting there, and in itself is a venue that should never have been built, but that's also up on our mountain on Blackcomb. We have hundreds of thousands of trees that have been just cut down for venues, you name it. Everything's been sort of paved over, even like there was a trail that we used to hike on just up Whistler Mountain, and that's used to be gravel, and now that's even been paved. It's kind of just, it's astounding when you take a toll of all the environmental effects here, not to mention increased carbon emissions and the rest of it. Bannock alone has 4,600 vehicles on the road.
Have you had much interest from the media when you raised these issues?
It's been pretty incredible. Here in Whistler, we're going to be hosting a media center similar to what's being done in Vancouver, and somewhere in the range here of a few thousand journalists from around the world. And what we've found is that when they get to Whistler, they're interested in the glitz and the sports, but a lot of them want to get to the guts of what's really been happening. And we've been extremely busy doing interviews with media from all over Europe and the U.S.
Well, thanks for talking to us this morning, Pina.
Great. Thanks for your time, Jane.
Pina Belperio is with the Council of Canadians in Whistler. She's a founding member of the group Whistler Watch, and you can read her blog at rabble.ca. It's called Word of the Rings.